I ask you to turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also beset by weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And our focus is upon verse 14, particularly the last part. Verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Let us pray. Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray now, Lord, that you give us ears to hear your word. We do pray in Christ's name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews sees a problem. He's been dealing with it again and again. And some of the things before that he has written to them. For instance, he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Pay close attention to the message you've heard, lest you drift away." Chapter 3, verse 1, "Consider Jesus, faithful as he was, as the Son of God." Chapter 3, verse 8, "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness." Chapter 3, verse 12, "Take care lest you have an evil heart of unbelief." 4, verse 1, "Fear lest you fail to enter God's rest." Verse 11, "Be diligent to enter God's rest lest you fall by disobedience." Chapter 4, verse 14, "Hold fast to your confession." Apparently the writer of Hebrews was concerned about something among them. There was a problem, of course, they had of being tempted to turn back to the old way of Judaism, sacrificial system, the blood sacrifices. They had come to know Christ, to believe upon Christ, but they were being persecuted, apparently, and were tempted to go back to the old way, to fall into unbelief. And again, the author gives the Hebrew Christians the example of Israel and how they failed to enter the promised land because of their lack of faith because of their unbelief. And again and again and again, warnings. Do not fall into unbelief. They did not hear. They did not receive. They did not believe God's word. Instead, they murmured against God, and they fell into unbelief. Don't be like them. Don't be like the Israelites there in the wilderness. We are told in chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, that Christ has been perfected, literally completed, completed as the Savior. All that he went through, his perfect obedience to the law of God, his laying down his life out of love for the Father, his passive obedience in doing that, all of that was used to complete him, as our Savior and as our High Priest, which is one of the great topics of the book of Hebrews, that we have this High Priest now in the Lord Jesus, eternal High Priest. There were the priests of the Old Testament, of the sacrificial system. They were all shadows, Hebrews says. They weren't the real. Now is the real, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is seated, unlike the priests in the sacrificial system, who were never seated. They walked around in before the mercy seat because their work was never finished. Passed on from one to the to another, one priest to another. But now we have this one who is the fulfillment of all of that, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ascended unto the Father and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Why is he seated? Because the work is done. He is the eternal High Priest. He has been perfected through his suffering in the flesh, through his obedience. And he has been designated as our eternal High Priest, he says, in likeness or according to the order of Melchizedek. There are other places where he's mentioned. He's mentioned, in, for instance, in Genesis 14, Psalm 111. And we really don't know a whole lot about him. But we do know that the Bible presents him as a symbol of, a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, a type of Christ. He says it is hard to explain these things, literally, since you have become dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing the word of God. Are you dull of hearing? I know I am sometimes. I think we all are, even true believers. Sometimes we are dull of hearing. So what is it to be dull of hearing? And what is the cure for being dull of hearing? What is this, one, as one has termed it, this spiritual disease of dullness of hearing? The idea of the word is to be sluggish, slothful, lethargic. Found one other time in Hebrews 6:12, and there we see the opposite. Look at with me, 6 and beginning at verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, the opposite of dullness of hearing is diligence, active diligence or earnestness to turn this message of hope, the gospel, the message of hope in Christ, into the assurance of hope, the assurance of heaven, the assurance that you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to hear the promises of God and being ready to respond to the word of God with faith, patience, perseverance. So what is dullness of hearing? Does it mean something is wrong with your physical ears? No, of course not. It means that there's something wrong with your heart. The heart isn't eager. The heart isn't diligent to embrace the promises of the Lord and turn them into faith and patience and endurance. Instead, what happens, and it happens to all of us, one time or another. The Word of God, the gospel comes into our ears, goes through our mind, into the heart, and hits something tough. What does it hit? It hits something like a wall. A wall that's starting to get hard or isn't softened. That's dullness of hearing. What is it? It is failure to hear, truly hear, the promises of the gospel. And that is to have no passion for them, no real love for them, no hiding them, as we are told in the psalm, hiding them in your heart, no treasuring them as more precious than gold. Hearing, but then no praying. No praying, oh God, Holy Spirit, help me. Write your word upon my heart. Rid me of a hard heart. Break down that wall. There's no change in life apart from that. The great Charles Spurgeon said of the Puritans that if you were to cut them, they would bleed the word of God. Bleed the word of God. They were so taken up with the word of God, studying the word of God, meditating upon the word of God, praying that God would enable them to live the word of God. And so what must we conclude is this: there is no growing in faith, there is no strengthening of the Christian's faith, if there is this dullness of hearing. Dullness of hearing is an incredibly dangerous spiritual disease, and it is widespread. And worst of all, it is deceptive. It is a tragedy that most are unaware of us. That they are suffering from arrested spiritual growth, living the Christian life and living the Christian of perpetual infancy because of this. Because of dullness of hearing. What a powerful indictment this is, especially when we see you are slow to learn. You are sluggish. Spiritually lazy, he is saying. They had become non-receptive, really, truly, to the Word of God. Is this not true? When most first come to Christ and are truly saved, truly converted, they listen to the Word with great intensity. They are ready to just soak it all in. Isn't that true? F.R. Weber, in his book, A History of Preaching in Puritan America, speaking of the Great Awakening of the 1700s, led by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jonathan Edwards, says that one of the byproducts of this spiritual awakening was a sudden interest in shorthand. Isn't that interesting? They experienced this intense new interest in learning shorthand. Why? Listen to what he says. Men and women studied shorthand in order that they might take down the sermons that were stirring the English-speaking countries. This had happened once before in Scotland, and it made its appearance once more in all countries where the influence of the awakening was felt. He says it was not at all unusual to see men with a portable inkwell strapped about them and a quill pen thrust over an ear, hastening to join the throng assembling on the village green, assembling to hear the word of God. But you see, as the newness died down, so did the interest, the listening, just as apparently with the Hebrews, as with so many today. One time, after attending a church service with an individual, this individual came up to me and said, "It was boring. I've heard it all before. Do you feel that way? You feel like you've heard it all and tired of hearing it? Not too long ago, I was talking to another person, and it's kind of humorous, but yet I don't think he really meant it totally to be humorous. I think he was really speaking of what he himself thought. He's a professing Christian. He said, do you know what a perfect sermon is? A perfect sermon is when the end is as close as possible to the beginning. The Puritan Richard Baxter, in his book, Directions for Profitably Hearing the Word Preached, gives this wise advice to us. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it. Cast not all upon the minister as those that will go no further than they are carried as by force. You have work to do as well as the preacher, and should all the time be as busy as he, you must open your mouths and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work and abhor an idle heart in hearing as well as an idle minister. Avoid an idle heart in listening to the word of God. In other words, what it's saying, when you hear the word of God, when you read the word of God too, you have a responsibility. And what is that? Just to sit there and just let the preacher go on? But it is not that. It is to consciously listen, to try to follow the point. Sometimes admit that our points aren't clear. Try. Look up the references. Have in mind the theme. Make application. Perhaps even, if it helps, take notes. Take notes. Some people like to do that. And above all, pray. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will help you in hearing, help you in examining yourself, help you in understanding the deep treasures, the great treasures that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So then what of hearing? Hebrews 4:2, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. The message they heard, literally, the word of hearing, the same word we have in 5, verse 11, dull of hearing. The word of hearing did not profit them. Why? Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Are you combining the hearing of the word of God with faith? So here we have the same problem. The word of good news, the word of God's promises, and a hearing of them, but no hearing with faith. No hearing with belief. This is, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is dullness of hearing. The word goes into the ears, goes to the mind, comes to the heart, and meets dullness, meets slowness, sluggishness, hardness. And the opposite of dullness of hearing is hearing with faith. With faith. When it produces love for the Lord Jesus Christ, when it produces in you a glory in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look with me at chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. We see this very same thing. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Because of unbelief. And so we see that they were not able to enter God's rest because of unbelief. They were not able to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. They actually, was even to describe their unbelief even more and more, they complained against God. They murmured against God, how cruel he had been to them, how he had misled them. So notice the change of words. It is from disobedience to unbelief. Why? Why is that? Surely it is because of this. I believe maybe not the root, but certainly part of the root, at the root, part of the root of all disobedience is unbelief. Unbelief. Do you realize that? I think it's one of the most important things we can see and understand as believers. It is unbelief, for instance. First of all, about the gospel, the truth that we cannot save ourselves. that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, that we constantly sin right now. I remember a conversation several years ago with a relative, asked me if I thought she sinned, and she said, I don't do certain things, and she asked me, do I think I sin? She said, do you sin? I said, yes. I'm sinning right now where I was sitting. I'm sitting right now where I stand. I confess that I do not love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I confess that I do not always do all to the glory of God. I confess that I am imperfect in these things. And I believe that is true for all of us. And part of it is we fight the flesh of unbelief. We don't really believe what God says about sin. We really don't believe wholly about how terrible sin is, how holy he is, how it is an affront to our holy God. We lack true trust in the Lord, true trust in his promises to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't trust the grace of God in Christ, the power of grace working in us as we ought. What an affront to the Lord. So you can see what dullness of hearing is and why it is so important to understand it and to diagnose it. It is a kind of hearing with the ears, like ears, kind of like what listening to a radio or music on an elevator or on. No response from the heart. There's no embracing the word of God with faith. So the result is, tragically, it doesn't produce the spiritual fruit, especially in the context of this Hebrews, of patience and obedience, perseverance and righteousness. Perhaps you have wondered why you are not bearing as much spiritual fruit as you wish in your life. Perhaps this is why. Perhaps you are, at least to some degree, dull of hearing. So let me ask you, do you come to church to hear the word of God? Perhaps you even read it on your own. You have personal devotions. Read it with your family. And yet you feel like there's very little fruit in your life, strengthening of your faith as a result of all this. Could it be that you are dull of hearing? Does the word of God reach your heart? So dullness of hearing is what it is: hearing without faith, no personal faith, no searching of the heart through the word of God, no praying for the work of the Holy Spirit. It's hearing the Bible or preaching the way you, as I referred to earlier, the way you would listen to music at a dentist's office, doctor's office. The way you'd hear recorded warnings, instructions on an airplane about what you're to do in case an accident, in case something happens. You hear, but yet you don't hear. You've grown dull to the sound of the gospel, the word of God. It doesn't awaken you. It doesn't awaken you to see Christ. It doesn't awaken you to examine your heart. It doesn't awaken you to lack of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his working in you. In a nutshell, it doesn't produce fruit in your life. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 8, verse 18. When he had finished telling the parable of the four soils, where the seed is the word, he says this: therefore, in conclusion, take care how you hear, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. So what is he saying? He's saying, I believe this: if you have ears to hear with faith and fruit, you will get more grace. Now, a lot of people say, what, grace? I thought grace was just a gift of God. Well, the Bible uses the word grace in different ways. Peter tells us that we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to grow in grace, in holiness. Grace, used in this sense, has the idea of strength, power, the power of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in you. If you have your ears with faith and fruit, you will get more grace. That's how important it is that you and I here, even now, right now, it's important that we be diligent and earnest in how we hear the word of God. Don't let your mind, don't let your heart lazily drift away. That is spiritually dangerous. Spiritually dangerous. Hebrews 5:11 said that there is so much more that he wants to give his readers, literally. Concerning him, we have much to say, but it is hard to explain, since, because you have dullness of hearing. Dullness of hearing. So what is the remedy? What is our remedy for this dullness of hearing? In verse 13, to what is a person who is dull of hearing compared? He is compared to an infant, spiritual babe. Infant, or actually is a Latin, infants. What's an infant like? A very young infant is not able to talk, not able to chew. Thus, as it says in verse 12, is in need of milk. You see, there's nothing disease, there's nothing wrong about a baby's dependence upon milk. But it's another thing, it is another matter for a teenager or an adult to be dependent upon milk. It says in verse 12, by this time you ought to be teachers, but instead you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need it, as one person put it, the ABCs of God's word, the rudiments of God's word, the gospel. Can we ever tire of the gospel? So what's the remedy? Why are some Christians stuck at this baby stage of development with a disease of dullness of hearing? And what is the cure? Keep in mind the problem. It is to be spiritually dull of hearing. It's not a physical problem. It is a spiritual problem. Dullness of hearing is failure to make use of the word of God that you hear, the gospel that you hear. It is failure to nurture your faith and to bear the fruit of obedience. Dullness of hearing is when you are passive, when you are lazy, when you are sluggard. The problem is failure to reach out by faith, to grasp and to apply the promises of God. So it's the passivity that produces babies or keeps one in that condition. The key verse to describe the remedy is, look at me with me again, verse 14. Solitude belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Matter of training. They're not going forward because they're not involved in training themselves. It's training yourselves, developing yourself, hearing the word of God, learning from its truths, praying that God would write his truths upon your heart. John Brown says the author does not mean to deny that it was a matter of great importance that they should be instructed in the higher principles of Christianity, but merely to state that an elementary course of instruction better suited their present state of spiritual imbecility. Every Christian has need both of milk and strong meat in order to his coming to the measure of the stature of a perfect man. But some have more need of the one, and others more need of the other. So you see the problem with these Christians. It wasn't because they had weak milk. The problem was they weren't, and this is such an important point, principle, to see in our text, in the sermon, the message this morning. They were not exercising faith with the milk. They were not putting it to use. They weren't growing on it. The key words in verse 14 literally are who, because of practice, of constancy, have their senses trained. It is the practice of training, to exercise training. So what was their problem? They didn't exercise proper hearing of the word, so that the word wasn't producing the muscle of faith in their lives. So there were no acts of righteousness, notes discerning from good and discerning good from evil. So what is this muscle? Literally, he says, have their senses or faculties trained, have their minds, their perception trained. So what is verse 14 saying? It is this: if you want to become mature, spiritually mature, more and more, and understand the more solid teachings of the Word of God, then the rich, nutritious milk of God's gospel promises must transform your spiritual mind. That's the point. That's the point. Have these rudiments of the gospel, have they transformed your mind? That transformation, understanding more of the grace of God, understanding more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what will prepare you to go on and to take more and more solid food, milk. So I suggest quickly three steps how to grow with milk to maturity. And also, this is the remedy for dullness of hearing. First, drink in the milk. It means listen. Listen to the milk of the Word, the message of God's promises in the gospel. You read them, you hear them through preaching and teaching, and you listen, you pay attention, you give heed, you think about them, you apply them to your heart, to your mind, to what has been said. Don't be passive. Don't allow your mind to wander. Digest the Word of God. Mull it over. Meditate upon it. In fact, we get our word meditate from the a cow chewing its cud. Chews it, swallows, comes up, chews it. That's really the idea. You reading the Word of God, meditating on it is like that. You digest it. You read it again and again. You mull over it again and again and again. Digest the Word of God. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you hear the Word of God, do you digest it so that it satisfies your heart, your mind, and soul? You see, when it satisfies you, when you really understand what you have in Christ, it will transform your life, your thinking, your values, your priorities. And so now, with a heart satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, you discern good and evil. You and I make, don't we? We make so many decisions day in and day out, most of which are not explicitly spelled out for us in God's Word. What to do? We regularly make decisions in regard to the use of our time, vocation, insurance, retirement, business, how to discipline children, what to do with our money, on and on and on. And the Bible doesn't give us this perfect spoken out word by word list about how to do these things. We learn through the study of the Word, the digesting of the Word of God, certain biblical principles when it comes to making decisions in our life. And so what do? You get busy habitually, regularly practicing, nourishing, shaping your spiritual senses, your mind, your heart, by the Word of God, until that Word becomes to you the Word of righteousness. And what is that? It's when it becomes this overwhelming, discerning power for you, producing righteousness in you, maturing you. That is the remedy for dullness of hearing. Drink with delight the milk of God's Word, the gospel, the ABCs of the gospel, until the desires of your heart are so transformed that you more and more and more are able to discern good and evil. Then you will be ready for more and more meat. Let us pray. Lord our God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this word to us. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us ears to hear truly, that you would remove our dullness of hearing. We have in our lives so many distractions, so many things that would lead us from Christ, from your word, so many things that we think about. It's gone on last week, things to come, things even this day that we need to do, must do. And Lord, deliver us, we pray, from dullness of hearing. Dullness of hearing as your word is preached. Dullness of hearing as your word is read. And we pray, Lord, that you would more and more mature us. Mature us in the milk, the ABCs of your word, the gospel. More and more understanding and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to go on in maturity. And we do pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.